I guess, I don't know. I don't know how relevant this is. I had a really disturbing personal experience last year with someone who is a supporter of BGR, where, you know, they were an older woman, and I was talking to them, and I was talking about, like, having a problem, and I was talking about birth control, and I was talking about, like, wanting to maybe start taking birth control, but being, like, sort of, like, unsure about it, and they, like, sort of sat me down, and they were, like, very carefully, like, if you take birth control, you are, like, destroying your body as a woman, because it is unnatural, and you should not take it, and, like, it would be, you would be better off, like, getting pregnant, or, like, as long as, like, your cycle, like, syncs up with, like, the way nature wanted to be. And I think that's a really good, like, example of just the sort of wrong-headedness of a certain type of mentality around body policing and deciding what's natural for, like, other people's bodies.
Right. And I think that links up with this idea that they say that transgender people are an unnatural outgrowth of, like, postmodern society, and an outgrowth of porn culture, an outgrowth of just, like, the decadence of, like, industrial civilization. And this is basically the core, you know, they're not going to say this explicitly, but this is, like, what they're getting at. And I'm wondering, like, when people know that this is what they're saying, how can they play the victim when people are, like, confront them? You know, it seems kind of strange that you have all of these, like, really weird and wacky ideas, like, negating people's existence. And then when people confront you about it, you want to pretend like you're the one being attacked or something like that. That to me is really strange. How are we doing on time, basically? I don't want to keep you guys too long. Just let me know if it's dragging on too long. I only have, like, two or three more questions to go. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, well, fine, I think. I would like to respond to that directly and talking about people answering that, like, that is not the same, that, like, that's not what's going on in this organization. I would say that a lot of people that get into Deep Green are swept away by the books that do not include any of this bullshit, or, sorry, I don't know if I said that word, but I'm sure you spoke it, but, like, who are not getting carried away by this, and a lot of times it's young college people, it's people who are dipping into activism for the first time, it's people who are exploring themselves and how they want to better the world. And I think that a lot of times, I think that Deep Green is, and has been up to this point, and their facade is broken now. It's broken. It's a way to get people into these thought processes. It's a way to get people in through one way, and then by policy, force them to think another way. And you bring this whole weird grad demi after that, and wanted to speak to that is that I actually don't think that everybody in DGR up to this point knows. For example, the chapters here in Portland did not understand the depth of transphobia, and I believe this from knowing people who were friends with somebody that's from DGR Portland that I directly communicated with over the last 48 hours, saying that they didn't know how deep it ran, and when they wrote that they stood in allyship with trans people, that they were going against the policy of Deep Green. So I think that people are sometimes just truly ignorant of that fact because they're looking at things that interest them. They're not reading up on the people that are their leaders. It is a hierarchical organization. And they're not reading up on those things. But they're getting into the deep ecology. They're reading more about that. They're excited about that. So that's all.
Right.
I think that what you said about the, like, general kind of red sense critiquing, especially, like, Hilaire Keith's sort of approach of saying that trans identities come from porn culture is actually, like, an enormous slap in the face to people around the world in different world cultures that have, like, a wide range and wide diversity of, like, different genders. I mean, the one most often used has been Two-Spirit in multiple indigenous cultures, but also across the entire world, there are different cultures that experience gender in a different way. And so to me, at its core, it's a very, very white supremacist idea to enforce this particular, like, demonization of trans identities because these identities, while not explicitly called trans, exist outside of this Western understanding. And, I mean, by that proxy, I believe Dallaire Keith is a white supremacist to the core.
I think it's very easy for people who are being called out to turn that around and be like, you, I am the victim because you were telling me that I'm oppressing you in an angry way. When honestly, like, how else are you going to express oppression other than, like, you know, yes, there are structured ways to call people out, but if you're being actively, like, harmed because people are actively trying to silence you, often the only way you can break through is with anger. And, like, it's very easy to turn that around and, like, turn that into, like, I am the victim now. Like, we see that all the time, you know. Men's rights activists are really good example of, like, people who are, like, using the fact that they are now being called out for their privilege to, like, claim some kind of victimization. And, like, it's very common. And I think, you know, my friend was mentioning how one of the DGR members at the panel was yelling at people about how okay to be cis. So you have people who are now, like, as well as men's rights activists, you have, like, cis rights activists, which is, like, people who are, like, claiming some kind of victimization through being part of the oppressing class.
I also want to say, going off Danielle's statement, the first person she spoke, that, yeah, people weren't aware of how deep the transphobia ran, but people can really, I mean, trans people are quite a minority. You know, they're more present in, obviously present in the queer community and quite present in some radical communities. But the average person can go a while without interacting with any trans people. And the fact that people from DGR were being called out for a group of people that they may have had no interaction with or limited interaction with, and instead of responding in, oh, this is obviously something I know nothing about, to respond with, DGR is not transphobic, Dallaire Keith is not transphobic, it's pretty appalling that they weren't willing to educate themselves about something that they obviously knew nothing about. If they're saying that transphobia doesn't exist, they have never met a trans person or been friends with a trans person.
Yeah. And also, what about this idea that's going around now that, you know, okay, the Earth is dying and DGR is really necessary because they have this great analysis of the crisis. And this people are calling the situation right now just like a philosophical difference, and that is something that should be put aside, and maybe, you know, people should just, like, ignore DGR's transphobia because of the ecological crisis, that maybe is something that we shouldn't be focusing on. Like, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, I've heard this from actual anarchists too, unfortunately, so.
People can't be safe in a movement. I mean, people cannot be part of a movement in which they don't feel safe. If a straight cis person chooses to be a part of DGR, I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's their prerogative. As a queer person in a lesbian relationship with a trans woman, me and my girlfriend and everyone sitting here at this table would not be safe in that movement. When a good friend of mine joined DGR, I wasn't crazy about the fact that she had joined DGR, but what I told her is, because she actually told me, she said, Dallaire Keith doesn't identify as transphobic, and DGR is a safe space for trans people, you know, basically, you know, kind of the same argument. And I told her, you know, it is your prerogative to join DGR, but never tell a trans or queer person that they will be safe in your movement. So if other people want to join, that's okay. But for queer people, we cannot join the movement.
On that idea that that the movement can change. This makes me think of Earth First back in the 70s, when Earth First was not a safe place for women. Earth First was an incredibly misogynist place, as Judy Berry wrote many times. And through the 90s, that changed and women took over. They got rid of Dave Foreman and all these other people
and push them to the side, and they made it as a place of escape for women. So, I mean, it's the thing, but GGR is kind of, it's a lost cause. It's got its leaders, it's got its roots, and it's a toxic place that can never be reclaimed as a social agency. And it, I think it continues to steal good members that could otherwise be involved in good activism, you know, whether it be Earth First, Cat City, of course, any of these things that are safer places that do work, that do have an anti-oppression like view. And, you know, nothing's perfect, but they're at least trying. And GGR is actively trying not to.
I believe that things can change, but as long as they have leaders who refuse to be accountable for the hate speech it's used and for the violent acts they've incurred, then that change isn't going to happen.
Okay.
And I'd also like to say, too, that there's been a like very definite material impact on the radical community in Portland in general. In lieu of all of this that has happened, people have been, organizers of the conference have been threatened incessantly via the internet, and people in our community have had their personal information exhibited and basically had a lot of lies told about them. And this has been an extremely like emotionally traumatic experience for a lot of people, like the fallout of all of this that has happened. Like, I never thought that this conference, or even that what happened would be under like this intense of a scrutiny, and that it would become kind of like this national sort of like spectacle that it's become. And it's actually like been very, very, very taxing on all of us. And I just think that because a lot of the story has been spun that DGR are the hapless victims, but the members of DGR and members of like the Rad Fem blogging community have like consistently like personally attacked people in this community, and it just continues, and it I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, I know this must be, you know, I can't imagine, I mean, not living in Portland and seeing how this must be tearing, or not tearing the community apart there, but how it must be, you know, straining people's relationships and stuff like that. I can't even really imagine, but like, I would say that it's going to be worth it in the end, though, because we have to, as radicals, as anarchists or whatever, like, explicitly make it clear that we, you know, we're on the side of the oppressed people. You know, we're not going to, like, leave anybody behind or, like, let anybody remain marginalized. And I think because of, especially for people who are like the, like one of you said before, like trans people, they're like a really extreme minority, you know, like the most vulnerable people, like they need the most support, you know. And I feel like more and more as time is going on, we're like, they're becoming more visible, like Brianna Manning, like we wouldn't even know about all the stuff that's going on with WikiLeaks and stuff like that if it wasn't for her. So I think it should be obvious to people that like the most oppressed people usually have the most to offer radical movements, because they're familiar with oppression. They want to be free. And like, why would you want to be in a movement that like wants to exclude them? I just like, I don't understand that. So my last question, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time. I know it's coming on like almost an hour right now, but like my last question to you all is how, about the importance of like explicitly making spaces trans and inclusive, and why you think that's necessary, and how we can, you know, make a greater effort to do that.
So I really want to start off by talking about this radical feminist analysis that Lyric Youth apparently has. So it seems like the core of the argument is that gender is basically a system of power that has coercively been forced upon us, and that women are defined by their experience of oppression. Trans people experience a lot of oppression. I'm going to read a short list of statistics here that are pretty appalling. So just this past year, 78 trans women were murdered for their gender identity, and those are just the people that were reported. 41% of trans people have attempted suicide. 88% have been harassed at school, causing one in six to drop out. one in five have experienced homelessness, and 22% of people who gain access to homeless shelters report being sexually assaulted within those homeless shelters because of their gender identity. Speaking from my own experience and my girlfriend's experience, she's lost her entire community. She dropped out of college, and then she got denied from Smith College. She has been fired from about 7 jobs and left another 6 jobs because of constant harassment at the workplace. She has been verbally harassed almost every single day of her life since coming out, and she's even been physically assaulted for being trans. So basically, dealing with transphobia is a daily thing for us, and to hear someone delegitimize that experience is incredibly frustrating, alienating, and infuriating. So, obviously, trans people experience a lot of gender oppression as well. So basically, Lyrikeen's basic argument is that trans women, by transitioning, that they are co-opting an experience of female oppression that can only be experienced by biological women, which is obviously not true. And this whole argument that that we are defined as women by our oppression, I know personally being a woman is an important part of my identity, and I am proud to call myself a woman. And, of course, gender socialization and oppression does play a big part in my experience as a woman. But gender socialization really isn't all that's at play here. I'm quoting here from Whipping Girl by Julia Serrano, that there have been studies that have examined a small, sexually dimorphic region of the brain known as the DSTC, and researchers have found that the structure of the DSTC region in trans women more closely resembles that of most women, while in trans men it resembles that of most men. So there's obviously a biological component as well as a social component to being a woman. And, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter why someone chooses or why someone identifies as trans. That identity should be respected. I also think it's important to say that radical feminists are pretty much exclusively talking about people transitioning from male to female. They're focusing on trans women, and they're not even talking about, the ways in which trans men could possibly experience male privilege by transitioning to men. It's all about trans women.
Well, they're calling them traitors, though. I've actually read about them talking about trans men, and they're saying that basically they just want to participate in patriarchy, and that's basically the whole reason why they're, transitioning, which is, pretty messed up.
They do have that analysis, but the majority of transphobic analysis is focused on trans women, throughout history and radical feminism, in all the public statements I've read, it's usually been about trans women.
Yeah. That's their main focus,
Yeah, totally. And, I want to point out that there really has been a history of excluding trans women within feminist circles for a very long time with other types of radical circles. And this really does make trans people, especially trans women, feel unwelcome. For example, this year I attended the Trans Women's Action Camp, which arose out of the need for safer spaces for trans people and women in the forest defense movement. And through no fault of the organizers, one of the organizers was actually a trans woman. There are only 2 trans women in attendance out of the 70-plus people who attended. So it's clear that the trans women are feeling excluded from radical movements, even if they would be welcome if they showed up. And it's really clear that through these, through what has happened at this conference, a really clear line has been drawn. You are either transphobic or you are an ally. And it is really time for allies to educate themselves about the plight of trans people. And it is time for us to make movements that are explicitly inclusive of all trans people, especially trans women. Shut.
I agree. Anybody else want to add to that? Anyone?
What's up? Hello?
Hello?
Okay, sorry, what was the question?
Oh, the last question I posed was how can we make our radical spaces more explicitly translucent, yeah. Basically?
Oh, to be honest, I think that one of the key things is rooting out the things that are blatantly oppressive in our communities, finding them, calling them out, making sure that they aren't around, making sure that they're not thinking it, making sure, to compare this to something else is how anti-Semitism seeps into the West, through things like 9/11 truth, through bank conspiracy, through these things, and they kind of slip through the cracks, and that's kind of what I think happens with each other here. So I think rooting out is one thing, and also all of these things that I think said, amazing.
Wait, what was this about? What was this about 9/11 truth? Are you... Is that something you're into that, or?
Okay. No, I am not into that.
Okay. Like, what?
No, I have made it very important to me to sort of snoop out or be part of calling out anti-Semitism in the West, you know, as something that's an oppression that still exists. So I guess what I was saying is that with my 9/11 truth, that kind of is a way that people who are getting into things can sort of like sneak into getting into anti-Semitism in ways that they don't even know that they're actually doing, like bank conspiracies and that sort of thing. Those are, I think, kind of what DGR and transphobia in this situation. So I think rooting things out is important.
Okay.
And calling to see it and calling for individuals from organizations to call off the bad things that they're doing and go through the training, get the education, sit down with somebody, read a book. Yep.
Cool.
Okay, I know that I just talked a lot and that, you know, I had a lot to say right there, but I do really want to focus more in on how to make these spaces trans-inclusive. I think that that everyone needs to be educated on trans issues. I don't think you can call yourself an ally, because some people think that being an ally is just like saying that trans women belong in a space and not beating up trans women for being in a space. That's not allyship. Allyship has to do with respecting people's pronouns. It has to do with not using cis-sexist language, not using the word woman as synonymous with a person as a uterus. That's a really important part of it. Making sure that the trans voices are heard, respected, acknowledged, and incorporated into the general dialogue. I feel like everyone needs to go through an education and training in order to truly consider themselves an ally. I've been doing serious ally work for 6 years, and it took me a long time to really get it, especially since we have so little language and so few words to talk about these issues. The English language doesn't lend itself very well to confronting trans oppression, and I feel like we need a whole new vocabulary and a whole new set of behaviors in order to truly make our movements trans inclusive.
Anybody have any final thoughts or anything they want to add or let people know?
One thing is that regardless of how it came about, I want to commend the members of DGR Portland for not being members of DGR Portland anymore. I would really just commend them on that. And I also want to say what's up to all the people who are willing to stand up, transphobia, trans folks who are willing to put themselves in a place of standing up to that. And, basically, I want to say heck yeah. And the internet has been interesting. The burrito was interesting. So, also, I have a question for you. What was your experience with DGR that you wrote about?
Like how I was involved with them, or?
I feel safe talking about it.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I basically started this website. Like, I was doing another, anarchist radio show with, like, Red Anarchist, And I wanted to focus more on green anarchism after talking to this woman named Waziatsuin, who's like a native scholar. And she was actually at the time working with Derek Jensen. I did an interview with her and Derek Jensen. And I was like, I didn't really know too much about deep green resistance because it hadn't really started yet. But I kind of knew about the deep green stuff from the 70s, like deep ecology, stuff like that. So I decided to start this new project and call it Deep Green Philly. And, you know, it was going pretty good. And then a friend of mine who's a trans person said, I like the interview you did with Lyra Keith, but did you know that she's like this raging transphobe and that she said all this crazy shit? And I was at this trans health conference here in Philadelphia, and I met this woman named Joelle Ruby Ryan, who actually is a person who she leaked out this email that Lyra Keith sent where she like compared being trans to being like someone thinking that they were Native American or something. And so then I was like pretty shocked by all the stuff I was hearing. So I did an interview with her, and basically, you know, like DGR didn't really respond to it at the time, but like a little bit of time passed and they were like trying to like get me to distance myself from them, which now it looks like that was like a great idea. But, yeah, so I mean, I'm a green anarchist. I'm really into anti-civ, but I'm not one of these people that believes that like all of humanity has to die or something like that. Like, I do believe we have to find a way to try to have like a soft landing to industrial civilization. And I have agreed a lot with what some of Deep Green's analysis is of the crisis, but when it comes to this one issue of transphobia, it's like something that I can't really compromise on, because like living here in Philadelphia, there's like a big trans community here. I have trans friends, and I can't, you know, just pretend like it's not a problem, you know? So yeah, here we are right now, because basically I feel like now is a chance for me to like finally make a break with them, like officially. So, and that's kind of like what a lot of people are trying to do right now. And I just feel bad for a lot of people who are like still in that organization who have a lot of good intentions, like the people at that training camp. And one of you mentioned earlier about their native allyship. Okay, but there's another side to that. There was something that happened. I'm not quite sure all the details yet, but they were really shady and fucked up to some like native elders on like near Pine Ridge or something. And there's like this big blow up that happened there. You can probably find out more about that if you want, but they've had a lot of different run-ins and problems over the past year or so, and a lot of people are really pissed off at them right now. So I think Deep Green Resistance is pretty much, I don't know how much longer it's going to last, so we'll see. And like I said earlier, like Derek Jensen is writing a book where he's going to like expose anarchism for being inherently misogynist and queer theory as being inherently misogynist, so we'll see how that's going to play out. I don't know. But yeah, that's basically where I'm coming from.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I am really, thanks for the chance to letting us contribute. And thank you for caring enough about the issue.
Oh, definitely. We have to. This is like one of the issues of our time, you know, like this is what we got to do. All right, y'all take care, and I'll talk to y'all later.
Bye. Bye. Bye.